Well, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. And folks, we appreciate you signing up for our e-activist newsletter. Please go to our website, theunionedge.com. Sign up. If you're local, your organization needs some help, we'll get the word out for you. If you're willing to help, we'll get the word to you. It's called solidarity. We're all in this together. And we're working to make our communities a better place. Right now on the phone, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
Brother Charles, it's always a pleasure to be with you. We at Work in Progress, our team, really enjoy participating so we can get the word out to educate people on this upcoming election.
Absolutely. And, you know, you sent me an article from MLive, or the Michigan newspaper, polling. Very interesting. Polls show female voters opting for Mark Schauer over Rick Snyder. That's a no-brainer.
Well, you know, I brought that up, Charles, for a couple of reasons. Number one, obviously we know we had I'll talk about the U.S. congressional race between Gary Peters and Terry Lynn Land. The other day, the Republican National Committee pulled all their ads and their money for Terry Lynn Land so they could shift it somewhere else. So you know what that means. You've been in politics long enough to know that their internal polling shows that she's losing ground. So what's interesting is it's not a surprise. I mean, you look at all the legislation that's been passed. I call it human rights versus women's rights, but all the legislations that have been passed by this governor, basically shutting down clinics, instituting riders on insurance for women's health. So it's not really a surprise that the women are opting for Mr. Schauer. But the key component of this, I'd like to talk about a good friend of mine, Bob Goodrich, who basically ran his campaign, or is running his campaign, with the cornerstone of equal rights, equal pay for women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he recognized a long time ago, and you and I, brother, both know that, you know, the ladies outnumber us, and they vote. So,
mm-hmm.
like I said, if we get out there and everybody gets out their votes, we win.
Right, exactly. And, you know, this is one of the things that just for me is so, so very much beyond the pale on a lot of things. Women are the majority in this country. Mm-hmm. I don't think very many women in this country vote just because their husband tells them to vote one way. If you want to vote against yourself, then, you know, that's your God-given right to do. And some people do vote against themselves. Some women do. Some men do. But my goodness, if you cannot, male or female, see that equal pay for equal work is an important thing, and women should not be a second-class citizen, then how, I mean, you know, it doesn't get any simpler than that. It's a black and white issue, and there's a bright red line in between the black and the white, and that, you know, you make the decision. Is it fair? Is it reasonable? Is it appropriate or not?
You know, Charles, you brought up something about the discussions between perhaps spouses or partners, men and women. In Michigan, and I guess from my own personal experience, running around the neighborhood that I represent, there were a great number of, and it's still a pretty conservative area, and the husbands are supposedly, you know, especially when you get into rural farm areas, are the main breadwinner, and they have discussions with their wives and or their partners about how they should vote. And I saw a lot of what went on here in Michigan because they talked about how close the presidential election was going to be here. And the reason why it ended up being a 10-point win for Obama was because the wives were telling their husbands, oh, sure, I'll go in and vote for Mitt Romney, and walked right in that poll and voted for Obama. And I think that's what's really going on here is in Michigan. And I think the poll is even off a little bit with its numbers. I think it's even a bigger number. Because, you know, once again, they call make these telephone calls, and they're talking to people on the phones. And I believe that a pollster that they would rather vote for Mr. Snyder and walk right in that poll and vote for Mr. Schauer.
That doesn't surprise me. What surprises me is they would tell their spouse or anybody else, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for Mitt Romney. Really? Okay. Well, you know, I mean, the only thing I would encourage women to do is, you know, stand up and be proud of your vote and don't hesitate to tell anybody.
Well, you know, but it's not like that in a lot of communities. You know, we often like to think that everybody, you know, is an individual and they stand up for what's right. But, you know, you get into some of these, I would even bet in Pennsylvania, you get into some of these smaller rural communities where, you know, consider my township, where the man is still the head honcho, if you will, of the family, and what they say goes. They're so used to direct their partner or their wives to in which direction to vote. And like I said, you know, they may not say, yeah, I'm going to vote for Mitt Romney. They just may shake their head. But when they go into that poll, they're voting their interest, and which is good.
Yeah.
Which is good.
And I want to strongly encourage people to do that. And of course, you know, we're talking about the real politics poll and the aggregate of average polls between Rick Snyder, who's current governor, and Mark Schauer, who is the and it's 44 to 41, according to the last polls. But you know what? I'm not buying it either. I'm not buying it either for a number of different reasons. And specifically, seniors. Just how mad are your seniors, Buck?
They're really mad, especially the ones that are born after 1953. And you're talking to one. Mm. And the reason why is because they decided that they were going to... you know, for those who don't know, the seniors were exempt from state income tax. And the reason that they were exempt from state income tax was because years ago they wanted to encourage people to retire working forever and cutting young people out of a job. That was the main reason why. So in his infinite wisdom, they decided to put on a 4.38 income tax on seniors. And they are really mad. As you see, Governor Snyder is going around having his town halls, which I find interesting. He's loading up with all his friends, and anybody that's anti or ask a decent question is kept outside. And he is focusing a lot on that senior pension tax, and he's using the terms such as fairness. You know, we don't want to put all this burden on our young people. And like I said, it's in an interest of fairness, we raise the tax on seniors. And, you know, and you know, to the young person who's out there, you know, say the 20s to 30s that are to make a living, that would in some ways make sense. But what they don't realize is what they don't talk about is that in the end, that's going to include them too. And they're going to have a lot less money in their pocket because... You know, these all these jobs have been created in Michigan. You know, they talk about the economy getting better. You know, these people are still struggling to make a living with two people working. And in the end, when they get old enough to retire, it will affect them too. So, like I said, it seems interesting that he has designed his whole campaign on basically how he's been this fair guy and he's created all these jobs. And don't worry. If you haven't felt it yet, or if you haven't got a decent job, you will. And like I said, it's quite actually humorous to see him go around and stand up in front of the people and say that.
Yeah, I can imagine. And my hat's off to you for not busting out laughing at that point in time. Buck, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more.
All right.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Stick around for Jim Hightower in the news.
Tenacity can be a virtue, but the persistent push by giant food conglomerates to deceive us consumers has turned their tenacity into raw mendacity. Brand-name food peddlers are spending hundreds of millions of dollars on lobbyists, lawyers, campaign donations, PR hypesters, and political manipulators so they can genetically and dangerously alter the dinner we put on our family tables without bothering to tell us which items they've messed with. With practically no public notice, their first deception was to get Washington to okay the production and introduction of genetically modified organisms into corn, canola, soy, and other crops. Then, they quietly pushed to prevent federal regulators from requiring that these tampered Frankenfoods be labeled as containing GMOs. Next, they tried a grand deception, insisting that foods tainted with GMOs qualify for the national organic label. Even our usually submissive regulators balked at that one. But look out, for here they come again. Big Foods Industry Front Group, the Grocery Manufacturers Association, is now demanding that foods with genetically engineered ingredients be allowed to use the word natural on their packages. Natural? Let's see. One, these biotech mutations are not products of nature, but of corporate technicians. And two, the plants are manufactured in corporate labs by extracting genes from a foreign plant or even an animal, then splicing those genes into the manufactured creature. The very DNA of this man-made food is altered, with no understanding of the long-term environmental or health consequences. This is Jim Hightower saying, a Twinkie is more natural than that. They're perverting both our language and nature's reality. To oppose these profiteers' tenacious mendaciousness, contact the Environmental Working Group. That's at www.ewg.org.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, hightowerlowdown.org.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is, because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org, because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. Join us now by phone from Grand Rapids, Michigan. We've got Buck Chino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
Charles, it's good to be with you. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, Buck. Always a pleasure. You see the polling, and sometimes I believe it, sometimes I don't. I just get the feeling in talking with you and others, you know, is this going to be a blowout? No. But I think Mark Schauer definitely has a very, very strong chance of replacing Governor Snyder. Those people who say that, this, that, and the other thing about Mark, folks, I got to tell you, from my perspective, and I've talked to Mark a number of times outside of the political arena, back when he was working for a living, so to speak, he gets it. He understands it, and he knows how to create jobs. and he knows how to get people back to work, good paying jobs, get people trained up, and specifically when it comes to infrastructure. And trust me, when you guys have a Fiat stuck in a pothole and have them driving over top of, y'all need some help.
Exactly. And I like you, Charles, have known Mark Schauer a long time and have talked to him outside the political arena. And you're right, he does get it. And, you know, and that's the reason why there is so much pressure. You know, it's obvious. You know, you look at the people who have come here to Michigan. Was it last week they had Mitt Romney for a rally? And today or tomorrow, I believe, they're going to have Jeb Bush. So if this was a supposed the blowout that was supposed to happen, those people wouldn't be here. And, you know, obviously we have, you know, the First Lady is going to be here helping the Democrats. It boils down to Charles, and you know it as well. I know it as well as everybody that listens. It boils down to the ground game. You know, we have a benefit here of having some very nice weather for the next couple of weeks, supposedly. So, You know, it's time to get out there and knock on your friends and your families, get your family and your friends and your neighbors, and encourage them to go to the polls and vote. And like I said, you know, the same thing, you know, and I'm not too worried about, as we talked about early in the earlier segment, I'm not too worried about the seniors because they are going to vote. But it's those people that are out there, you know, that are working for a living day to day. We have to go out there and remind them about the importance of this election. And like you said, it all boils down to the ground game. And like I said, it's time to put up or shut up. And I think that we're doing well there. I think that organized labor has taken upon itself. There was, you know, roughly 150 to 200 people outside the venue that were locked out of Mr. Snyder's town hall meeting last night. And like I said, I think that the more things that like that happen, the more we talk about the raise in taxes. And Mr. Schauer's the cornerstone of his campaign. He's promised to reverse that pension tax, and he's promised to reverse one of the bigger things when Mr. Snyder took away the earned income credit. I mean, I think that actually hurt wage earners more than not raising the minimum wage. But like I said, I think it all boils down to the ground game, and to have fun. You can't go out there and think that politics is a bad thing. You need to to inspire people, you have to be inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have fun doing it. And like I said, I always ask every candidate. And every candidate that I've asked, they tell me that they're having fun. And the best part of it, I talked to Kathy Forbes, and she sent out a blurb, and she's knocked down roughly 30,000 doors in her district.
Holy GS, like I said.
So I see this as a good thing. I'm you know, and my wife gets a piece of mail every day. Every day. And it's all dealing with fair pay. It's all dealing with women's health. And I think, like I said, as we said at the beginning of this show, it all depends on us getting out and vote. Not just women, all of us.
Oh, yeah, and it's all of us. And now let me ask you this. Rick Snyder, is he got people knocking on doors talking for him, or is it our Republican friends have just completely ignored the ground game?
You know, Charles, it's interesting you say that. I've been here in Michigan, and I live here in Michigan. I have not seen one operative from the GOP, and I got one phone call, or even seen one sign. Now, I did see some signs across the northern part of Wisconsin when we were coming back from Minnesota last week, but nothing in Michigan. Like I said, it's really highly unusual that meeting a card-carrying member of the Tea Party, that have not got one piece of mail, not one email from the Tea Party that encouraging me to vote for Mr. Snyder, and that's what I find very interesting.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder about the polling then.
Exactly. I think that like I said, if this election was supposedly a runaway, like they say it is or was, for a fact it wouldn't be people like Mitt Romney and Jeb Bush and whoever they can pull out of the attic to come here to speak to the Republicans. So, like I said, we have to continue doing what we're doing. Just go out, like I said, knock on every door, take our signs out, and get them out to the people. And that's a good avenue when you knock on a door to ask to put a sign to have a little conversation with them. And like I said, if we do that, we will be fine. We just need to, if we vote, it's the same in every election, Charles. We just have to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to get out there. You got to vote. Educate yourself on the issues. Do your own homework.
You know, that's, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
I mean, how's things in Pennsylvania? I mean, what is the governor's race there?
Here's the deal. Tom Wolf is up in the polls. He's very popular. He's very well respected. A lot of people get it. A lot of people understand it. I am absolutely convinced that this is going to be the first time in many, many years that an incumbent governor in the state of Pennsylvania is booted. But there are a lot of people who are just that mad about what's happened to the schools and the teachers' layoffs and the lack of expansion for the Affordable Care Act. Pennsylvania is the only state in the country that doesn't have an extraction tax on Marcellus Shale. I mean, really? I mean, not even 5%. I mean, the big companies that came in here to drill, they were expecting 8%, 10%. Okay? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. How do you push that money off the table? And there was no mandate on, you got to have so many people from the state of Pennsylvania working these jobs. And there was no mandate on, this is what you got to do to make sure our roads and our bridges are repaired as needed. Because those trucks are big and they're heavy. You know, so on and so forth. Only state in the country. Giving it away. Giving it away. I mean, seriously, they are giving it away. And they're giving it away to places like India and China because India and China have large interests in those drilling companies. They're going to build liquefied natural gas plants, they're going to put it on boats, and they're going to take it home for free.
For free.
Just saying.
Well, you know, Charles, we have an opportunity, and it's the opportunity for all of us in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan. We have an opportunity to start the course of change, and that changing the governorships to some more pro-worker environment, and that means getting rid of Corbett, getting rid of Walker, and getting rid of Snyder.
Yeah.
What a glorious opportunity it is. And like I said, if we just go out and do the thing we've been preaching for forever is vote, we'll be okay. And we can't take anything for granted, especially in a state like Pennsylvania where, you know, the polls are show that the Democratic candidate way up. We can't have apathy. We need to go out and vote and help. That helps everybody down the ticket.
Absolutely. Keep up the fire. That's what we got to do.
Exactly.
Meantime, Buck, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Buck Gino of Working in Progress Radio. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Philadelphia Federation of Teachers will go to court to challenge the elimination of their collective bargaining contract by the School Reform Commission. Three of the five members are appointed by Republican Governor Tom Corbett and have exerted state control over city schools since 2001. PFT Vice President Arlene Kempen says in a surprise meeting Monday, the commission ended the union contract.
When they convened Monday morning, they took a vote and it was unanimously passed that they canceled our contract, changed the benefit package, and other work rules as well. The meeting was about 10 minutes long.
Kempen says the teachers' union will challenge it in court. The commission's action is effective December 15th. Kempen says Governor Corbett has cut $1 billion from Pennsylvania public education. Thousands of Philadelphia school employees have been laid off, and private charter schools are operating in the Philadelphia area, siphoning more money from public education. Kempen says public school financing needs an overhaul in Pennsylvania to preserve and not destroy public education for every child.
Every single child deserves a quality education, whether they're coming from families that can't afford to send their kids to private school or not. Every child deserves that chance. our teaching conditions are our children's learning conditions. And what we're fighting for is good for kids.
Walmart is cutting health care benefits for 30,000 part-time workers. The cuts will affect workers working less than 30 hours a week. The hugely profitable retailer with billionaire owners is also raising health insurance premiums for its workers. The bankruptcy ruling in the Stockton, California case allowing the city to cut future pensions is not as far-reaching as some people think. That's the opinion of Dave Lowe, director of the California School Employees Association and chair of Californians for Retirement Security. Lowe doesn't believe this is precedent-setting for cities nationwide. With pensions under attack nationally, though, Lowe says workers aren't causing these problems and shouldn't have retirement security ripped away by them.
The workers in Stockton didn't create this problem. The problem was created by a number of factors, and we believe that everybody, not just the Stockton workers, but all workers, and not just public employees, should be able to retire with dignity. And what we're seeing across the nation is this huge wealth gap where working-class people are falling further and further behind. Decimating their pensions is not a solution for the economy, and it's not the solution for working-class people.
The New York State Nurses Association Wednesday picketed Ellis Hospital in Schenectady amid stalled labor negotiations for 800 nurses. Marla Knowles is one of the picketing nurses. She says safe staffing is the key issue.
If you have more nurses to take care of patients, then your outcome is going to be better for those patients.
Workers Independent News is brought to you by the American Federation of Teachers and its 1.6 million members working to reclaim the promise of public education, health care, and public services for our students, their families, and our communities. More information online at aft.org.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.